This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is good to have you guys hanging out with us. Taco Mac Woodstock is where we're at. Come on through, Mike Bell. We've got Tinker in the house.
Yes, guys. Tinker, if you remember, the big bear fell on him at the end of Roadhouse. That's why we call him Tinker. We've got a father and son over here. Fathers and sons drinking together, Carl. That's what it's all about. Got another guy over here. He's looking for a job. And where else? What a better place to look for a job than hanging out at Taco Mac for 4 hours. So, not sure on that. Got a Gator fan. He's obviously needs a Hey Man ale over here. So we got the full spectrum hanging out with us in Woodstock.
Hey, in 10 minutes, we're going to talk more about this, but our Braves are not in the playoffs, but they are making changes. And Mike, this is stirring up a little controversy among Braves fans as they're saying, wait a minute. Isn't this the same hitting coach that led a team that led the league in every offensive category last year, and now he's being fired?
Yeah, look, I get it. I think a lot of Braves fans don't appreciate what the hell happened this year. You had no business being in the playoffs, guys. You lost everybody. I mean, I know we had Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez, but even he missed some time. Freed missed some time.
That's right.
You know, you had to do the typical up from Gwinnett and back to Gwinnett and all that stuff. Not to mention the fact you had guys you couldn't even pick out in a police lineup when the season started. So for all the guys that want to get on Snicker, this is 1 year I can't yell at Snicker. He was coaching bums. Bums who can't hit. You can't ask bums.
Journeyman.
Sorry. Usually I say journeyman, then say bum. But you just can't expect. We'll get more in depth on this because I think guys are barking up the wrong tree. Seitzer was a pretty good job, pretty good at doing his job last year, to your point, when they let in every single offensive category in the show.
It made no sense. It makes no sense. This is a scapegoat move for me. This is the guy they go, well, we need a change.
Yep. And when they used to do this all the time when Bobby Cox was a skipper,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll get into it and we'll try to track down AA. The Braves general manager here on the show, as he's always gracious with his time. All right, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, guys. It's Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings. All right, some of you are being a little bit hard on Kyle Pitts. And Mike and I had a great conversation with him yesterday. It's online at Odyssey.com. As we get into the 5 o'clock hour in the Falcon Report, if you're just tuning in, we talked to the announcer for the Carolina Panthers, Jim Soakie. And Jim was like, look, there are a lot of issues with the Carolina Panthers. And going into this week's game with the Falcons, they're more beat up, more banged up than they have been all season. Specifically, Mike, up front. Defensive lines, he talked about Derrick Brown.
Right.
Offensive line, they have some issues. And we are a 6-point favorite. So after hearing his assessment of the team, I feel a lot better about our chances going down there and not laying an egg and being flat or whatever is going to happen and going and handling our business. But the Kyle Pitts thing, here's what did you take from the Zach Robinson interview?
Zach said a couple times, if you heard it with Andy and Randy, and they were asking him about Kyle, and the things he said about basically, if you read between the lines, being where he needs to be, doing the little things, the details. Details came up a number of times when discussing Pitts. And I said to Randy at the handoff, a lot of guys think a tight end, all he does is he runs 10 yards down the feet and makes a curl. It's not the way it works. There's more intricacies to it. And look, I don't really think Zach should be asking him to block, but they're still using him in more of a traditional tight end role. We want to see that unicorn Tony Gonzalez thing. But regardless, I took him the interview. There are some things they're not getting from Kyle Pitts, and that's what's keeping him from being a bigger part of this offense.
And I feel like there was a concerted effort to get him the ball in this last game. That wasn't a fluke. That wasn't them going into the game and saying, well, if he's open, you know, Kurt, throw it to him. Those plays that he made, you know, catches on and yak after the catch, I think that was the attempt to get him more involved. Mike asked him yesterday, does he hear all the noise surrounding him being the fourth overall pick and having to live up to it?
Yeah, like you're saying, I'm going to thank God for that. And obviously, you know, a lot comes with it, but I don't really, you know, pay attention to it anymore.
Now, he said anymore.
Anymore.
Which means he was. Or he may have had somebody in his circle paying attention to it. Either way, he says, I'm trying not to pay attention to that anymore.
We had a guy hit us up earlier on the on Twitter. We don't say X. I think his handle was Jazz Player.
Yes.
And he was saying, get off his back. He's had three different coaches. Well, he's had two coaches, but he's had two different offensive coordinators. He's had three quarterbacks, and now this is his fourth quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Two of the four were terrible.
Bumps.
In Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And I'll give you that. But, guys, you still got to have some personal accountability if there's some things that they're asking him to do that is not getting done, if that's the case.
All right. So, listen, all I'm saying is, are we being too hard on him? I've wanted him to be more productive. Last week he was. I can't say anything. Mike, if we get that week in and week out, I'm off of Kyle Pitts. Like, I'm enjoying this journey with him.
Right.
The problem is it's been too inconsistent. And some people say, and this is the part where I feel like you guys are being too critical. Some people said they heard the interview yesterday and they were like, man, I don't know. He ain't got that energy. He ain't that dog. What is he supposed to do?
I mean, you want him to sit there and go, give me the rock, these busters. I'm the man. Now you got a controversy. So you got to, yes, you have to kind of be like Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham. I'm just happy to help the team. And the good Lord willing, it will all work out. And that's what we kind of got. But he's been in the league now a couple of years. He understands, don't be a distraction. Don't play that Antonio Brown card or be an Aaron Rodgers and make it all about me. So he just kind of, you know, deferred. And I'm with you. Don't take what you say. Don't take meekness for weakness.
Don't do it, man. It's just, I have an issue with anybody who says that. Over time, we'll find out.
Right.
5 years from now, 3 years from now, if he gets another contract, Mike, we're going to figure it out exactly what he is. But I don't want to take away from his competitive spirit because you didn't feel like he came across with enough force.
Now, look. Arthur, when you had the Calvin Ridley situation, Julio was gone. All of a sudden, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He's getting the lion's share of throws. He only got in the end zone once. But Arthur Smith then gets more of his guys and the tight ends once he had some money to spend.
Sure.
And then Kyle Pitts' role, we didn't know what it was. Not to mention you had an injury in the middle of that. Guys, injuries and availability is part of it. So, I mean, that's like, it's not, you say it's not fair to criticize an injury. Well, injuries are part of sports. Injuries define your legacy. If you're not on the field, you're not putting points on the board. So that's all part of it. It's a lot of moving parts to what Kyle Pitts is and isn't with the Falcons. But I think hopefully he's turned the corner. We'll see more of what we saw on Thursday.
Yeah, hopefully. And listen, the last thing we want to do on this show, because it's not in my nature, is to be killing a guy week after week. To be saying this guy is not producing or not living up to it. That's not what I want to do. I want to be telling you guys how good these guys are and what they are doing. But it's going to be, you know, a week-by-week thing, but I want to see more of what we saw last
week. Well, he's a fourth overall pick. Drake London's an eighth overall pick. Drake had the kind of numbers and a box score that we want to see every week because that's where he's supposed to be living.
Totally agree.
As a top 10 pick. So, guys, when you're going to go offense, 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 you got to get some juice, man. And, again, I do believe in these guys. I think Zach Robinson, you heard it in Andy Randy, he admitted, much more comfortable now going into week six.
Let's hear from Raheem Morris, because outside of Pitts and whatever you think about where he's at or what he is, again, some people saying he's a bust. I'm like, dude's 22, 23 years old with 40.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Different quarterbacks, relax. I'm with Jazz player on that. Raheem was talking about, though, pass rush and improving the defense because, again, that's an area where we absolutely need to be better.
As far as the pass rush, that's something that we have to improve. But at the same time, we can help ourselves improve with that on offense as well. Let's play with some leads. Let's see what our pass rush is really about. Right now, we got far and few between with the pass rush. But when we do get the opportunity, it just hadn't been good enough. And that's something that we got to bring to the light and we got to bring to the forefront for our guys. And, like, I think that's well known and documented through us. But I think as a team, it's going to be something that we got to be able to do better, too, as a pass rush.
Three or more sacks Sunday. They're beat up.
Oh, man, give me some of that. Center's out. Tackle's banged up. Center's done for the season. Tackle is banged up. Their wide receiver core is banged up. Their secondary is not that great. From the own, again, the voice of the Panthers, he was not going to basically get into the Tepper thing. We don't expect him to. But, look, there's a lot of stuff floating around that team right now. And we've seen some teams put up some big numbers against them. And they did beat the Raiders when they got the shock to the system of benching Bryce Young and going with Andy Dalton. But, you know, still, the last couple of weeks, teams are handling them. And I think we can. I think Falcon fans, you can get a cheap ticket. It's an inexpensive ticket. Get up there. Let's maybe take that stadium over.
Let me hear Grady Jarrett talk about confidence growing with this team because of what Kirk Cousins is doing.
Not even on this. Everybody involved on the team, when your quarterback is, you know, doing good, feeling good, that make everybody feel better. And you can see it in the way he prepares, man, and just the confidence that he has to trust his guys to make the plays for him. Even some of the throws that he's making, just unhesitant. And he and nobody's going to be a bigger critic than him than himself. I can see that just being with him for a short time. So it's good to see him feeling good about his performance, and that's going to make everybody else around him better, man. So definitely when he got confidence, I mean, it instills more confidence in everybody on the team.
Pretty cool. I just saw a story that was posted that apparently Kirk, when his wife went out to Georgia and spoke, did some classes at Athens and visited with Kirby and the dog program. Pretty cool. And for Maria Martin at 11 Alive, apparently we didn't know this summer. We would have asked him about it. Bijan Robinson was on a movie set.
Oh, which one?
Aspiring actor. Apparently, I don't know if it's a TV or a movie, but it's called Outer Banks. And I just retweeted it.
It's a show on Netflix.
And he's on it. And you can check it out. And there's a scene where he's on a boat with a bunch of dudes that look like Navy SEALs, and Bijan's on the front of the boat looking like the dude.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight.
No, actually, that show's not bad. I've actually watched it, Outer Banks. Okay, very cool. All right, Bijan, I see you. You got your card already? You got your SAG card?
Well, we know that Bijan's got charisma. He's got charisma. He's a star. All I need this weekend is 2 touchdowns, Bijan Mustardson.
All right, man, coming up, what are our Braves doing? Listen. I don't know what happened or why this happened, but I do sense that, Mike, this was one of those things that they felt like we needed to do something. Was it the right thing, though? We'll discuss next.
The strong.
Are we disappointed as our season played out with the Braves? Yes. It's nobody's fault. Sometimes you have these seasons where you have multiple injuries, your stars are down, but I give the Braves a lot of credit. And I said this may be Snicker's best managerial job because he had to overcome all of these major injuries. But with that said, today we find out, after just, what, 4 or 5 days ago maybe?
Right.
The Braves came out and said, oh, there'll be no changes to Brian Snicker's staff. My question, Mike, is what changed? Because today they fire hitting coach Kevin Seitzer. And if you're saying, well, they didn't hit, this is the same dude that was in the same job last year when they led the league in every category. I'm not sure if this is the right move or if this is just a move to make everybody say, hey, there's a fall guy for what happened this season.
Well, you know, they've done this a few times before. Guys, remember during the Braves run, I used to say, look, nothing against Bobby Cox, and I know that he's a sacred cow in this town, but I always felt like, you know, why don't you change the approach? Because you've had every lineup all those years, and every couple of years, Carly would move on from the hitting instructor, and I was like, come on. What are we doing? And in this case, I love this organization, what Alex has been able to accomplish, and we should have. I mean, look, last year is what it is. They just got ice cold. Philadelphia just got a taste of that this year after crapping on Snicker for saying this layoff will take away your momentum. And then Philly, after mocking Snicker, is living it now if the Mets send them home.
True.
But to get Seitzer, I mean, I know guys – if you watch the Braves 162 nights, you're going to complain about everything, and I get it. There's things Snicker does you're not going to like. So what was Seitzer's malfunction last year when you're the team which is kicking everybody's butt? And you said it, slugging percentage, home runs, RBIs, OPS, every category.
Yep. I don't know.
And then this year, you got a bunch of players, with all due respect, Laureano's not a starter in Major League Baseball.
Bum.
Urshela is not a starter. He had a chance to start earlier this year in Detroit. They moved on from him. These are just dudes. We were getting guys like Whit Merrifield and then other guys that were just off waivers. And then so Seitzer's supposed to take, you know, chicken blank and turn it into chicken salad. That's not the way it works.
It's not. And when everything was clicking last year, you know what you were saying? He's the best hitting coach in Major League Baseball. I think this is someone.
Nobody mentioned his name once last year.
Of course not, Mike, because there was no reason to.
But you think you're going to just replace Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies for half a season? I mean, come on, guys, it's not how it works. Not to mention, we all love what Chipper Jones does, and Chipper is really good at it. And if Chipper wanted to be a hitting instructor, he could do it and probably turn a lot of guys' careers around.
Sure.
He can't fix Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy can't hit.
Who?
Exactly.
Sean Murphy can't hit.
He can't. RC, I don't want to see Sean Murphy next year. I don't want to see RC next year in a Braves uniform.
Yeah. Here's the other part of this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some people are saying, hey, well, how do you explain, you know, their approach at the plate? Wait a minute. Mike just
told guy's back, the career 220 hitter's approach at the plate? Oh, I don't know. I mean, we had these injuries, and we brought Rod Carew and Tony Gwynn in. I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Some of this is...
I hate being the company man, but this argument is ridiculous.
No, it's a bad look. I don't care what any Braves fans tell me. I'm not telling you that this team won't be improved. Everybody will say we're improved next year because we got a better hitting coach. I'm going to tell you we're improved because we're healthy. That's the key. 404-726-0929 as we talk about this. And the reason why is, guys, we're watching the Mets. How many times do we say it during the season? Just get hot at the right time. We're watching the Mets get hot at the right time.
Right.
And it pains me to even say it because I despise them. But it is what it is. And so as we watch them get hot and maybe advance to the NLCS, you know, or to their first World Series in a while, I just feel like, okay, what are the Braves doing and how do we make this team better? Mike, AA's got a lot of decisions to make. I mean, let's be honest. This thing is, yes, we've got to get healthy and get guys back. But he's got to completely, in my opinion, reform and restructure this pitching, starting pitching staff.
Well, I mean, is Max Fried going to be out? You're going to be outbid for somebody for Max Fried?
He's gone.
I just feel that you just can't match that money. You know, is Ian Anderson going to come back?
Did you hear what AA said, by the way?
Yes.
This was a couple of days ago. I don't know if you guys saw this. He was, talking about – this is when we lost. And he was talking about Max Fried. And he said, look, guys become stars in this league. And then you have multiple teams who want their services. And he went on to say, I love Max Fried, but that's a reality we've got to look at. Mike, what he's telling you is there will be bidders, and we're not going to get into a bidding war with him, which is what we've been saying. And I hate it because I feel like this pitching staff, you're asking me to trust a bunch of guys that for the last 3 or 4 years that we've been talking about that realistically, outside of Swelly, you have no trust in.
No, and I get it. We've seen Alex Anthopoulos' idea of how you build a team. He's never been into committing big, you know, $150, $130 million contracts to pitchers. We got Chris Sale at a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, remember, Strider got a $100 million contract, and we don't know what Strider's going to be. Remember, this is going to be Strider coming off two surgeries now.
I think it's 75, Mike.
75, I should say. The steal of the deal is Acuna for $100 million.
Yes.
But you've got the entire team is locked up, but they kind of they go after pitching with a Groupon. And you know, last year, I get it. They got ice cold, but I still didn't like the idea of putting Bryce Elder on the bump in a must-win pivotal game against the Phillies, you know, after the series was 1-1. So either way, I'd love to see them, even though they're in the top five bracket now for spending, to really commit to the pitching. I know every Braves fan we know wants Max Fried back, although some people have said, look, I can't give Max Fried $130 million if he can't stay healthy. And that's become a concern. He misses games every year since 21. That's part of it. But real quick, just getting back to the argument with Seitzer, guys, you cannot if you don't get the scapegoat here, last year you want to talk about the Phillies are doing the same thing. Phillies were wire to wire with the division for the most part after we cooled off after April. And then last year we go wire to wire with the best thing in baseball, and we go ice cold in the best of five. This team had no business, Carl, being in the playoffs.
No.
It's one thing to bellyache about underachieving, but I don't think you fire the hitting coach when you bring in a bunch of journeymen and you overachieve.
Bum. Here's the other part of this.
But you can bring in somebody who's got a new approach, can reinvent the wheel with hitting? Okay.
Let me tell you what you do. You get healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not fixing Ronald Acuna, who's healthy. I mean, you know what you're going to say? Good to have you back. Hey, go ahead and hit however you want to however you want to hit. Are you kidding me right now? That's what's going
to
happen.
Guys are asking me, did this come from Alex? Well, we'll talk to Alex and we'll ask him. I don't know where it came from.
I love this. Braves fans are like, Dukes, Sean Murphy got sights or God.
Now, again, I mean, guys.
That's how bad he was.
Sean Murphy just can't hit. It's just time to admit it. Look, Alex has done amazing things. He's built what he did in 21 at the trade deadline will go down in general manager history. But he got schooled on the Contreras trade. Contreras trade was a bum. It was a bust.
Let me ask you something. What did the lineup look like when Money Harris left it and was out? And
Correct.
Then when he got back?
Right.
Do you think Seitzer said, hey, move your right hand down just a little bit? No, Money Harris is a bowler.
Right.
He came in, he got hits when it mattered, and he's a star. That's what we need. Stars back.
And if, by the way, Seitzer finally said, Ozzie, just hit from the right side. That's not a bad thing. You know, either way, it's a scapegoat move. The organization has done this before. It was a Schuerholz move with the hitting instructors back in the day. And to me, it's like a tree falling in the forest. You were decimated with injuries. And for some Braves fans, they just don't get, Carl, the expectations were so out of whack once you lose all the pieces we talked about.
All right, coming up, speaking of baseball, Brett Boone stopped by the show earlier. You'll hear that interview coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as he discusses these playoffs with the San Diego, tied now with the Dodgers. We talked about the Mets advancing last night. This thing's getting interesting, and we got a couple of games tonight. We'll hear all of what he has to say about the playoffs. Mike, we just met some really cool people.
Hey, man, I want to give a shout-out to the veterans, guys, Veteran Rally Point. By the way, thanks to, again, 40 Grit and Grunt over here, man. These dudes, I walked over to the table. I says, man, are we shooting a new Sons of Anarchy up here in Woodstock? These guys, man, thanks for your service, man. Coming up, guys, next Saturday at the Lowe's Incoming, huge event to raise money for homeless veterans, veterans with PTSD, and other veterans' causes. You know, Carl, we're big fans of it, working with vets, and these guys are putting their sweat equity into this. You can just, we'll put the link up on our Twitter page, but it's next Saturday, the Lowe's Incoming. Go help the vets, because they no one else is helping. Let's go help them out, right?
Awesome. Good to have you guys here. Thank you for coming out, man. We appreciate you, and thanks for all the work that you're doing. Coming up, Road to the College Football Playoff next. Let's talk about the Road to the College Football Playoff. It's funny. There's a couple here. They're Ole Miss fans. We were just talking about
Hotty Toddy.
Yeah, Ole Miss has lost to Kentucky and how surprising it was. But we were just saying, and her husband said, listen, Ole Miss is fine. I'm just bringing this up to kind of put it in perspective for the SEC. He said, Ole Miss is fine. I said, yeah, they could still lose to Georgia if that's to happen. Have two losses, still get in the playoff. This is the new college football. And this idea that, hey, we got to win every game and go undefeated, I'm not saying that coaches still don't want to do that. But, Mike, you can lose two games. I'm going to leave it at two. I'm curious to see if the committee puts a three-loss team in. But I think we're going to have a bunch of two-loss teams in this 12-team playoff when it's all said and done.
You know, in the old days when you had a Final Four, the college football playoff, losing to your two best opponents was never a resume builder. Happened to Georgia one year. But in this case, with the strength of schedule in the SEC, you know, we'll have to see how Ole Miss's loss stacks up against some other losses. Guys, like right now, you look at the top 10, we all know that Penn State's going to lose to Ohio State. And they may pick up another loss because that's what Franklin does. They'll go to a nice bowl game. They'll win. They're always happy to go to the Rose Bowl. But it's going to be interesting now to see what if Penn State has to play an SEC team.
On the road?
On the road. If they, yeah. For instance, they come to Georgia or they come to Ole Miss, you know. So there's so many things. We just don't know where it's going to go because it's uncharted territory. I wouldn't fret, but I still think Georgia – now, if Georgia loses two nail-biters to the two best teams they play and greases the rest of their schedule, they're certainly in.
They're going to be fine. I totally agree.
And maybe Texas runs the table.
Five of the top 11 teams lost last week. That's how crazy college football is. Tennessee went on the road, lost, right? They lost to Arkansas.
That's a tough loss for Tennessee, for what they were trying to forge with their defense and the perception of what that team was. That is a tough loss.
And then, obviously, the one everybody's talking about is Alabama. Vandy, everybody goes, all right, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Do not take Vandy for granted. And I'm telling you, Kirby Smart said this week, like, I respect Vandy. I respect their coach. I respect their players. I think he's seen enough on film to realize that's a pretty good team. That what you saw was not some, oh, fly-by-night, it'll never happen. Right time, right quarterback, Mike, for Vandy, and we'll see who else. But here's the deal. There's nobody that's going to play them moving forward that won't be on, like, upset alert. We're not going to take them lightly.
It is going to be interesting because there's so much crazy stuff that's been written and said, and mostly said, in light of the Vanderbilt upset, one of the great upsets in college football history, as if somehow Kalen DeBoer and Alabama, it's a mess. And okay, Feinbaum was saying that. All right, we're going to find out.
Is it a mess? How did it go from being a mess when you beat Georgia 2 weeks ago?
And it's so funny because last time I checked, Nick Saban is still in the building. So, I mean, I don't think Nick Saban, not that, again, he's retired, but if something is really out of kilter, Saban will walk down and go, Kalen, can we have a chat? I just don't buy that. But it's just kind of like we just a different team, but we talked about getting to know Zach Robinson and what they're all, what he's about. We're seeing what Kalen DeBoer is all about. Unless you're a Washington fan, you've seen him the last few years. How does he deal with adversity? Welcome to the SEC. Your team was overconfident. You had a huge letdown against Vandy. Georgia had a loss and came out sluggish against Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we talked about it with Barbara Dooley. But I'm not going to sit there and say that somehow Alabama can't bounce back from this. But if they do struggle and there's another, you know, kind of sketchy game, okay, then we can have that conversation. But come on, that's just typical knee-jerk fake news nonsense.
It is. I tweeted out because I just wanted to that Saban would have never let this happen.
Well, he probably would never have let that happen. You're right.
And it's Vandy, and here's what we're talking about. It's the same thing I've been saying about the Falcons. When you have success and then you go play a lesser team, sometimes guys mail it in. And Saban would never allow that to happen. Kirby's done a great job at Georgia, guys,
right,
over the years of, hey, we respect everybody. We're not taking them for granted. And I don't think that Alabama took them for granted. But the idea is, how do you install that, Mike, every week to say, yeah, we're the better team, but you have some kind of motivating tactic to make sure that these guys are not out kicking it and having a good time and going, man, we got Vandy on Saturday. That's going
to
be a breeze.
I mean, all of a sudden, it's funny. You know, you beat Georgia. Oh, it's brilliant to have morning practice. You lose to Vandy. Oh, morning practice is idiot. It's idiocy.
They need to do what's
– Look, and don't get me wrong. I said this real, like, Feinbaum's making bank and, you know, whatever. But it's just nonsense. But, I mean, I just feel like, Carl, I should have been spitting more nonsense earlier in my career, and maybe I'd be syndicated. I don't know. It's just the argument doesn't hold any water. South Carolina in Tuscaloosa at noon. The trap game, and here's where it gets interesting, Alabama, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Coming up next weekend.
Yep.
A week now. And that's now if you lose that game, Kalen DeBoer, then
it's a problem.
Now all those things will crop up in spades.
Yeah, it's a problem. Meanwhile, the big game, at least as far as the number one team in the country, Texas and the SEC, is the Red River rivalry. Oklahoma's 18th in the country. Texas is number one. We now know Quinn Ewers is back, Mike. We knew he would be. He's going to start for Texas. The thing about this game is everybody before the season started said beat Oklahoma or maybe not. Probably lose to Georgia because everybody thought Georgia was going to be better than Texas. And those are your two losses if you're Texas. Now you're looking at Texas and you're going, they're going to beat Oklahoma. And they're probably going to beat Georgia at home the following week. As Georgia comes in right now, they're ranked 5th in the country. But guys, I've said this. The problem I have with that game, and we're looking ahead, Mike, is
– You are Nostradamus. You said Texas is going to beat Georgia.
I said that? How's this offense going to keep up? Are we going to see the Carson Beck we saw in the second half of the Alabama game?
Or that first half.
Or the first half. Which one?
Well, how about Bobo run the football? How about split the difference? How about you have a nice balanced attack? I still go back to that Alabama game, and if you don't – I just felt they fell into the trap all of a sudden. They were just over-aggressive. They were so spooked by what Milroe did. They were too aggressive on the defensive side. I think they're going to walk some of that back.
Yeah.
And Trevor Etienne, you just saw it. 2 touchdowns, 88 yards. Etienne needs to be a bigger part moving forward, and he should have been a bigger part of that first half. To me, it just felt like all of a sudden now you get into a gunfight with Jalen Milroe on the road. Just run your game. Run your game plan. That's on Bobo.
I do think, and it's going to sound crazy, the end of the year for the first time in 15, 12, whatever it's been, 15 years, Texas plays at A&M. to end the season.
Oh, man.
And I do think that's a game where they could definitely lose.
And Elko's got A&M really playing tight. They're physical, everything we knew he was doing when he was at Duke.
Yeah, Mike Elko's got them playing well. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Our road to the college football playoff. Brent Venables, by the way, on the Texas game, said that
this quote is now, talk about, I'm going to say something, trying to act like I really believe this, but I don't believe anything I'm about to tell you.
They're not a measuring stick for myself or for this program.
Talk about Texas.
That's a complete lie. To go on, he says, their success doesn't have anything to do with our success. And their lack of success doesn't have anything to do with ours. So we're focused on us. The things that we can control, we compete on the field once the season and a big game. It's always on, blah, 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 blah.
A guy who cut his teeth in Oklahoma is going to tell you the Texas game doesn't define that.
He's lying. It always does. Guys have gotten fired for losing this game.
Right.
So, it's again, you got to beat your rivals. We know Auburn hardly ever beat Alabama when Saban was there. How many coaches did they go through? You always have to be relevant when it comes to your rival. Harbaugh, Mike, for years, right? He's got to beat Ohio State. He's got to beat Ohio State. Finally does. They win a national championship.
Right, well,
Ryan Day right now is in that same situation.
You know where Ryan Day is? You just mentioned what Coach Venables had to say. Think about John Cooper. Now, for younger guys, you're not going to know who John Cooper was. Cooper was the Ohio State coach who could never beat Michigan. And he said the same stuff
he did
that Brent Venables just said.
It's not a measuring stick
for
us.
Remember when Tressel got the job and they have he's speaking to the crowd at the Ohio State basketball, and he goes, you're going to be proud of this team in 300 whatever days when we play Michigan. He knew the importance of the game. He knows it's the ultimate measuring stick. It is interesting to hear a guy throw some absolute nonsense. You're in the SEC now, by the way.
Yeah, he's clowning around.
Come on, man.
Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, it is Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wing at Buffalo Wild Wings. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, you'll hear our conversation with Brett Boone. And, Mike, guys are still hitting you up, by the way. I got to read this to you. Kenny says, Dukes and Bell, if the hitting coach doesn't help, why have one? Talking about the Braves who haven't fired Kevin Seitzer.
Right.
Last year the Braves hit home runs. This year it wasn't happening. Did y'all miss the comments by Chipper about the approach? The approach was terrible. And the Braves coaches can help that.
Okay. Well, the approach was pretty good a year ago. The approach worked last year with stars. The approach didn't work with bums.
Journey.
Okay. Again, guys, you cannot replace all of these. Braves fans, I mean, it's one thing to get angry at your team when you blow last year. You want to be angry, get angry how they choked against the Phillies. Be angry that Arcia got punked by Bryce Harper.
You still mad about that?
Yeah, and Braves fans should be. No, Braves fans go, no, I think the exit velocity and launch velo. If Chipper wants to be the hitting coach, Chipper should be the freaking hitting coach. We all know that Chipper's really good at this.
He's not going to be the hitting coach.
Well, that's just it. Then Chipper, go down to spring training, and when you see something, and he's done this too, by the way. Chipper's talked about this when he's on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that Chipper's a really good guy at fixing swings and getting guys right. But you can't complain about the best offense in baseball one year and then say when a bunch of stars are removed from the roster, it's now the hitting coach's fault.
It's a shame.
Coming up, who cries for Seitzer? Apparently not Braves fans.
We've got a lot more to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Hey, man, stick around. You're going to hear what's going on with our Falcons injury update, including what's the latest on Bijan Robinson. Stay right there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural,
or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.